Mark chapter 2, verse 23 through 28. And if you need a Bible, the ushers are in the aisles to put one in your hand. If you don't have a Bible at home, take it with you. It's our gift to you. We want you to be blessed. Every home should have the Word. So this morning I've entitled the message, Lord of the Sabbath. And we will look at Sabbath examined, Sabbath example, and Sabbath explained as we go through here. So let's just read our verses and then we will pick them apart as we go. So, verse 23. Now it happened when they went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. Now, if you don't know, the Old Testament Sabbath would start on Friday at 6 and go till Saturday at 6. So obviously, this is when Jesus and his guys are walking. Probably this is Saturday after they had been in the synagogue. And they're hungry. They got the hungies. And so while they're walking, they come across a field of grain, and they just reach out and grab some, crush it in their hand, pop some wheat seeds into their mouth. By the way, I really like bread that has the wheat seeds in the bread. I think that's awesome. Well, that's basically what it is. It's just little wheat seeds. And so they're doing this, and they're going to run into some friction from the religious leaders. Now, what I want you to understand is this field that they're doing this from is not their field. But they're not stealing. You see, back in Deuteronomy 23:25, it tells us that it says this. In Deuteronomy 23:25, you don't have to turn there, but jot it down in your notes. It says, when you come into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the head with your hand, but you shall not use a sickle on your neighbor's standing grain. So basically God says this, hey, you hungry? Go ahead, grab a handful, but don't start harvesting and put a big old pack of it on your back because it belongs to somebody else. But if you want to take a little snack, and that's great. Now, we're going to explore this because here what's going to happen is on this Sabbath, when they're doing this, the religious leaders are about to oppose them. And so as we look at the Sabbath, I'm going to hopefully answer all the questions you've ever had about Sabbath but were afraid to ask. Today, you can ask, but still be afraid. No, don't be afraid. Okay, look, we're going to look at if the Sabbath is Saturday, then why does a church meet on Sunday? Why did God take a Sabbath? Why did he need a Sabbath? Who is the Sabbath for? How about that? You ever wonder that? And how about, is the Sabbath different in the Old Testament as opposed to the New Testament? Is it different for the Jew as it is, and is it different for the Gentile? Well, I'm going to prayerfully answer those questions in the simplest way possible. And first of all, as you notice, as we look at the law, please keep this in mind. In the Old Testament, when God gave laws, he did it for one reason, because he loves us. Did you know that? The law wasn't to really bog us down and stress us out like so many people get stressed out by the law. That wasn't the purpose. The purpose of the law was because God loves us. And I think as we go through this, you're going to begin to understand what I'm talking about. But even, give an example, even in the Deuteronomy 23:25, when he said, hey, if you're walking by and it's the neighbor's wheat field, go ahead and grab some and eat it. Why? Because I love the fact that God is so detailed in how he cares about us, even down to when we take a walk. Listen, back then, they didn't have McDonald's on every corner. They couldn't just run up and get a Happy Meal. So they had to grab a handful. And so we're going to see that the Sabbath was really an act of love on God's part. And when you understand that, brothers and sisters, today, as we look at the Sabbath, I believe, you're going to begin to look at God's laws completely different. You're going to look at the Sabbath differently. But I want you to also know this. I'm going to need your participation, okay? So are you ready to help as we, well, it's going to be a little bit, but when we're ready, are you ready to help this morning?
Yeah.
Okay. Some of you are like, oh, I got to wake up. No, good morning. Hi. Are you all ready to help?
Yeah.
Woo, that's better. Okay. But I think you can even do better than that. But you got a little time. You can work on it. Just warm up. Me. Whatever you need to do. Okay. All right. So the Lord of the Sabbath is what we're going to look at. So here we go. Here's the Pharisees. Ta-da. All of a sudden, we're in the middle of conflict. Look, verse 24. And the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what is unlawful on the Sabbath? You see, they weren't concerned about the fact that they were pulling the grain because they understood, according to Deuteronomy, that was fine. You could do that. But their concern, the Pharisees, was that they were doing it on the Sabbath. And you say, what's the big deal? Here's the thing. They were thinking that when they were pulling the stalk of grain, that they were harvesting. That constitutes work in the mind of the Pharisee. And when they're crushing it in their hand, they were threshing it. So basically, that constituted work. So they're doing these things that they would constitute as work on the Sabbath, and you weren't supposed to work. Now, we're going to look at why they thought all this in a moment. But do you realize what the real problem is? What the real problem with the scribes and the Pharisees? Well, a couple of problems. Number one, they're jealous of Jesus because Jesus has a huge following. Secondly, misery loves company. Right? You ever heard that term? Okay. Let me give you an example. We say misery loves company, but let me explain to you how misery loves company works. If you were cleaning a garbage can out in the heat and someone was supposed to be helping you, all of a sudden you're like, I got to clean this garbage can. You're all upset. Why? Misery loves company. Let me prove it to you. Because if you and that same person, if you were supposed to go to Hawaii and they didn't go, you wouldn't be going, they're not coming to Hawaii with me. You'd be like, good for them. I'm going. You won't stop. Why? Listen, when it's something you don't like, you become miserable if people aren't helping you. When it's something you love, you don't care if anybody helps you. You're going to do it anyway because you love it. So here, the Pharisees, and you're going to see here, are so steeped in legalism that they are miserable and they want everyone else to be miserable with them. And so they're like, hey, why are they doing that? They're breaking the Sabbath. Now, here's what we need to understand. Jesus would never break the Sabbath. He would never violate his Father's commandments. That includes observing the Sabbath. He wouldn't do that. Listen, Jesus would never teach his disciples to disobey his Father's commandments. He wouldn't do that. In fact, listen, Jesus will so obey his Father that he'll even go to the cross, to a horrible death, because he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. So if Jesus will go to the cross to obey his Father, you think he would violate the Sabbath over some wheat? Absolutely not. He is not violating. But let me tell you something. Jesus would often, on purpose, violate the legalistic traditions of the religious leaders. On purpose. He would violate man's attempt to annote God's word, add to it, make all these rules and regulations. Jesus would hit it face on purpose, in front of them, so that they would bring it up and that he could deal with their hypocrisy and their legalism openly. I love that. I love that. And I love what Jesus says over in Mark chapter 5, verse 17. Mark 5, 17, it says this. Do not think, Jesus says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but fulfill them. Jesus is going to fulfill them. So what's happening here is the religious leaders have a bunch of rules that are not found in Scripture, and they're trying to hold Jesus and the gang, his posse, they're trying to hold them to it, to their own rules. Well, let's look what else. Jesus now is going to give them an example. So we have the Sabbath example here, verse 25. But he said to them, have you never read? Oh, man, I love that. You know, listen, of all the people the Pharisees, the Sadducees, prided themselves on memorizing the scripture. So when Jesus says, have you not read? It's really kind of, it attacks their pride. It's a direct offense to their pride. Now, he's not trying to be offensive. He's trying to give them a reality check. These guys should know the scripture. But the problem was, not only had they read the scripture, but they were also those who read the Mishnah. We'll talk about the Mishnah here in a moment. That's really what's going on. But he says, have you never read that David, when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and also gave some to those who were with him. This is over in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1 through 6. What happened was David went in to the high priest. He went in there and he said, hey, I'm hungry. You know, they were out on a mission. He even told them, we're on a mission from God. And the priest said, well, your men, have they abstained from women? You know, like they were going to battle, by the way. David says, yes, it was our custom. That's all what we always did. In other words, like a boxer, you know, a boxer's not going to have intimate relationships because it drains your energy. He's like, listen, we go to battle. We're on a mission from God. We're not doing that. So the priest gave him the loaves. There was usually 12 loaves, or there were always 12 loaves for the 12, representing the 12 tribes. And so here, the priest, the high priest, gave him the bread. Why? Because God loves compassion and love more than ritual, more than religious acts. Did you hear that? God loves compassion and love more than ritual or religious acts. Man, sometimes you wouldn't know that when you walk into some churches. Some churches, man, they are so stringent and stiff on rules that are not even found in Scripture that they forget that love was the purpose. God considers the simplest needs and He takes care of them. He is wonderful like that. God's mercy is incredible. Do you understand? And so here, David was in need and the priest understood, because this was a good high priest. He understood God. He was like, okay, this isn't what we normally do, but you're in need. So here, take it. You know, later on, Jesus is going to, we're going to see this in the next chapter, chapter 3. Jesus is going to heal a man on the Sabbath, and the religious leaders are going to come and say, how dare you heal a man on the Sabbath? And Jesus is going to say, you mean you think it's better not to heal somebody? And they're going to be so angry, they're going to want to kill him. Wait, it's not good to heal someone on the Sabbath, but you can kill somebody on the Sabbath. You see, God's about love. Religiosity and legalism's about hate. Do you realize that? That we would never, ever be steeped in jumping through hoops in order to have a relationship with God or to earn. We can't earn salvation. It's a free gift. It's awesome. Listen, do me a favor. Turn to Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. I love the sound of Bibles turning. We are Harvest Bible Church. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. That's a good sound. That's like music. In stereo, too. That's cool. Okay. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. Look what it says. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice. God desires mercy, not sacrifice. And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Oh, wait, hold on a second. What is the knowledge of God? Well, that God is love. That God is forgiveness and merciful and kind and gentle and long-suffering. That He's more concerned about the life than the ritual. He's more concerned about us. Do you realize that God loves you and I more than sin? You say, what are you talking? Of course God doesn't love sin. No. More than the sin that is in my life and your life. He loves us more than that. Let me explain. You've heard this, John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? Okay. We tend to think that if I go, you know, oh God, please forgive me, I've done wrong, that God's up in heaven going, oh God, Randy's asking for forgiveness, I guess I better forgive him. That's not how it works. God doesn't have to forgive us. He wants to forgive us. He's ready to forgive us. And why does he do that? Because he loves us more than the sin that you and I have in our life. He's willing to supersede that and love us. And the proof is he sent his son to die for you and I because there was no way that you and I could ever make it. We could never pay for our sins. We could never be good enough. So he loves us more than our sins. Wow, that's an incredible love. In fact, he doesn't have to. He loves to forgive us. It was his idea. It is his nature. It is his immeasurable love for us that moves us to be compassionate to us, to give us forgiveness when we ask. He doesn't have to do that. He wants to. God wants to forgive me and forgive you because he loves us. Man, I don't get that. I have a hard enough time loving people who hurt me once, let alone when we've hurt him over and over. But he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Lord that gives us rest. And you're going to see that even in more detail. So he gives them this example. He says, look at David. David ate the showbread. This next section is, you're like, man, Pastor, you flew right through the... No, this is where we're going to bog down, right here in this next section. And this is where, by the way, this is where I will need your participation, okay? Watch. Verse 27. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. You got that? Okay, let's go home. No. The reason why God came up with the Sabbath, there are so many reasons. So let me start chipping away at this. First of all, if there was no Sabbath, man would work his fellow man for every last dollar he could get out of him. Because man, in general, is greedy. Listen, if you work for a boss or a company, you know if that company could get away with you working every single day and paying you the same, they would, right? Yeah. They even call you in sometimes on your day off because they don't care. They just want to make the buck. Not only that, God would also cause his people to give rest to the animals because man is so greedy that he would work that ox until that ox would die if it meant extra money in the bank. Not only that, God also gave a rest to the land because he knows that man will work the land until all the minerals are drained out of it. In fact, that's exactly what Israel will do. They will ignore the Sabbath and will not give rest to the land. And so God will take back all those years by putting the Israelites into captivity for their disobedience to make up for the years that... And he always only took the amount of years that they had denied the Sabbath. Now, the religious leaders at this time, they have this little book that they added to the Bible called the Mishnah. It was in the Talmud. It's part of the Talmud. But the Mishnah was made up of six books. And each one of those six sections in the book, not really books, six sections. Within each six section would be little sections. And there'd be like one section for seeds, one section for women, one section for... There was a different section for each thing. And each one had subsections. And all of these were additional laws and rules to add to God's already existing word. Problem. It was all their idea, not God's idea. Give me some examples, okay? Here you go. Look at this. This is the silly stuff. On the Sabbath, you could walk with a cane, but you could not walk with stilts. And you say, well, what? They use stilts to pull fruit and stuff off of trees. So they didn't want to see you on stilts because then they were afraid you were working. So all those circus clowns were out of work. If you had an artificial leg or artificial teeth, you could not have them in on the Sabbath. Grandma would hide her smile. Okay, women, you would not look in the mirror because if you saw a gray hair and you plucked it, you'd be in sin. So if you tried to do any of that, that constituted work. So women would avoid mirrors. How'd you like that day? Guys, notice that was for women. Now here's for you guys. Guys, you could spit on a rock, but you could not spit in the dirt. Because if you spit in the dirt, there might be a seed there somewhere, and you might be cultivating a seed. Therefore, that would constitute work. Or worse, if you spit and it rolled, now you're plowing. I'm not kidding. I wish I were kidding. Okay, here's this. If you were walking, you had an apple in your hand, and you're tossing it from one hand to the other, half of the rabbis would say you were in sin. The other half would be like, not sure. But if you took that same apple and you tossed it in the air and caught it with the same hand, you're in sin. What? If you had a wound, we're out plowing, you get cut, I couldn't wrap that wound for you. You couldn't, because if it started healing, if it's a good wrap, then you were working. Oh, even worse, what if your son or daughter or you or someone broke their leg and could not walk and bones sticking out? That one of those gory ones. I couldn't carry you because anything that weighed more than a fig could not be carried. Do you weigh more than a fig? Then I couldn't carry you. Thank you. One person weighs more than a fig. I'm proud of you. I couldn't call a doctor because a doctor could not come and tend to your leg because then he would be sinning by tending to your wound. In fact, by the way, the weight of a fig, they would make their utensils lighter than a fig so you could eat. Because if your utensils were heavier than a fig just to eat your cereals or Fruit Loops, you'd be in sin for Fruit Loops. How do you like that? You could not tie a knot on the Sabbath. There's the last one. There's a bunch. You know what? I encourage you. Go online. Look up silly laws in the Mishnah and have fun. They're ridiculous. Here's one more. You could not tie a knot onto a bucket. But a woman could tie a knot in her girdle. So if she wanted to, she could tie the bucket into her girdle and carry it that way. So all the guys had girdles on the Sabbath. Hey, they had their bucket list. What can I say? Okay, so Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Don't turn there. I'm just going to bounce off it real quick. But write it down. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Uh-oh. Keep the Sabbath day holy. If I walked up to you today and I said, hey, are you keeping the Sabbath day holy? Well, I don't know. How do we put a hole in it? I don't know. How do you do that? Listen, most Christians, probably not anyone here because we're a biblically literate church, I believe, studious. But most Christians, a lot of Christians, don't know what the word holy means. They don't. Oh, they go, oh, I'm holy. And they've got this idea of holy like they float. You're holy. You glow in the dark. That's not holy. That's creepy. Okay. That's not holy. You know what holy means? Holy simply means set apart. Oh. What does holy mean? Oh, I love it. All right. You guys are getting warmed up. Okay. By the way, that's why 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 says this. Be holy, for I am holy. That's the Lord. Now, listen. People go, well, does that mean perfection? No. Holy simply means set apart. Set apart for God. Listen, you and I can be holy. We cannot be righteous. Why? Because my righteousness, your righteousness is filthy rags. That's why we can be holy as He is holy, but righteousness has to be imputed to us. We have to have Christ's righteousness wrapped around our filthy righteousness to be counted. That's imputed to us. So we can be holy. Brother and sister, be holy. Some of you have genes and you think that makes you holy. No, that's a whole other thing. No, holy means set apart to God. Righteous means right living. We fail. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Philippians 3:9, if you want to turn there. Philippians 3:9, very important verse, one that you should hold dear in your heart. Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Not having my, we have no righteousness. So once again, we can be holy, but we can't be righteous. So we need Christ to be our righteousness for us so we can be counted righteous. But holy, we can be all day long, just simply being set apart to God. Now, here's where I need your involvement. Turn to Exodus 31:12. You are going to now have your eyes open to what the Sabbath really is. Open to Exodus 31. Thunderous page turning. I love it. Okay, maybe not thunderous. All right, Exodus 31, starting in verse 12. Okay, here's where I need your participation. Watch this. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites. So who is he talking to? Okay, only the first two rows. Let's try that. Who is he talking to? A little better. You sound about as loud as first service, and I know there's like twice as many people. So let's... ushers, can you give the back row some coffee? There's a... no coffee. Okay. So, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbath. This will be a sign between you and me. What is the Sabbath supposed to be? A sign between God and Israelites. I know that I messed you up on that one. So, say to the that the Sabbath will be a
sign.
Awesome. I like that. Doing better. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come. And who are the generations to come? They are the
Israelites.
Some of you said signs. I'm like, what? No. Nobody said that. I'm messing with you. For the generations to come are the Israelites. So that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. And holy means? Okay, so the Sabbath is a between God and the
Israelites
to make them holy, which means
apart.
Now, how hard is that? Does that sound like anything that should stress you out? First of all, jump down to verse 16. It says this, or second of all, jump down to verse 16. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath. Who are to observe the Sabbath? If you're Jewish and not a Christian, you are to observe the Old Testament Sabbath. But if you are a Christian, now you are just like us here, where you're not to fall, you don't have to fall under that. Look what else. Look verse 17. It will be a between me and the forever. Forever. It's a sign between God and the Israelites to set them apart. So the Sabbath is a sign between God and the Israelites. Okay, what kind of sign is that? Yield? Slow down? Railroad crossing? What kind of sign is the Sabbath? Well, let's look at it. Well, do me one more favor. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 19. Or jot it down. I'm going to springboard off it rather quickly. I am the Lord your God, Ezekiel 20, verse 19 and 20. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. Hallow means set apart my Sabbaths. And they will be a sign between me and you that you may know that I am the Lord your God. So you're asking, okay, Pastor Randy, what kind of sign is the Sabbath? Well, I want you to know this, and please hang this on your hat. Every nation, every tongue, every syllable, that too, every civilization throughout history has had the same astrological cycle that we have today. What I mean by that? Listen, every civilization, every nation, every tongue has the same 24-hour day that we have. Why? Because the sun comes up and goes down, and the moon comes up and goes down. You have night and day. It's 24 hours. They all have the same, don't they? Yes. Based on the moon and the sun's rotation. No matter where you go, they all have a 30-day month in that ballpark. Based on what? The cycle of the moon. It's called a what? Lunar month. So we all have that. By the way, we also have a 365-day year, and give or take a day. Based on what? The seasons. If you go to China, do they have a 26-hour day? Germany, do they have? No, all the same, right? You're not sure. Some of you never traveled. I've never traveled anywhere. I don't know. I'm not from around here. So they all have the same 24-hour day, all have the same 30-day month, they all have a 365-day year, but only in the Bible do you find a seven-day week. Do you realize that? We have a seven-day week because of the Holy Scripture. No other religious right, no other place is there a reason for a seven-day week except for the fact that in Genesis it says God created and on the seventh day he rested. And now we are to keep the Sabbath holy. And what does holy mean?
Set apart.
Now, so how does this become a sign? Here's how it becomes a sign. If the Israelites at this time, now we understand that a lot of other people, even non-believers, embrace a seven-day work week. But at this time, no one else did. All the other nations just worked right on through every day, every day. No break. No break for their animals. No break for their land. No break for their workers. Just work, work, work. Money, money, money. But only the Israelites would take time to rest. So therefore, they were holy because they were from everyone else. And it was a sign. Hey, you must be one of those followers of that God from the Old Testament that all your patriarchs talk about. So that's how it becomes a sign. But Israel didn't keep the Sabbath. So what happens? They get taken into captivity. And then when they come out of captivity, guess what? Now they're hypersensitive to the Sabbath and they make the Mishnah to make sure that they don't break any rules because they don't want to get God upset and go into captivity again. But they missed the point. It's not about following the rules and this and that and jumping through hoops. It's about loving God. God had to put had to get their fingers out of his recipe. Their legalistic Mishnah was becoming a horrible, horrible thing. Now you say, well, no Christians go by the Mishnah. In fact, most of you have never even heard of the Mishnah until today. Well, some churches have something kind of like a Mishnah. It's called bylaws. You can go to a church. I had a gentleman in a church that I was at actually a whole group of people that were more concerned with what the bylaws said than what the scripture said. I had to literally sit there with the Bible in one hand and their bylaws in the other. I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. And I said, which one do you pick? Which one are you going to follow? And he sat there and he was like, it was like intense for him to make the decision. He finally said, the Bible. I was like, good boy. He was all wagging. He thought I had a treat for him. I didn't have a treat. But I was like, good, that's good. Oh, yeah, good choice. I'm proud of you. And then as soon as we finished that, not even 2 minutes later, he was back to, but the bylaws, I'm like, oh my gosh. I gave up. I was like, God, you're going to have to talk to this guy. I'm going to pray for him and his followers. But the Mishnah, just like bylaws, can sometimes be so stringent that it begins to transgress itself. What I mean is, listen, the Sabbath and the freedom that we have in Christ. Jesus says, he who I set free is free indeed. Unless you want to start taking on all the hoops and the different things you have to jump through. There were so many rules. Listen, there were so many rules during the Sabbath that you kind of would wish the Sabbath would be over so you could get some rest. It's like you're missing the point. Just stay in bed. But if you fluff your pillows, you're in sin. It weighed more than a fig. No. I got a figgy pillow. I don't know. Man, a church should never be just a bunch of hoops for its parishioners to jump through. Church should be free to just come. The whole focus is on worshiping God, reading His Word, praying, having fellowship, praying for one another, just encouraging. That's what the Sabbath was supposed to be. Listen, on the seventh day, what did God make on the sixth day? Anyone know? Yeah, exactly. Man. God made man. So you know why God rested on the seventh day? First of all, because He looked around and He says, this is awesome. Look at that. And then He made man. He's like, yeah. But He rested on the... God wasn't tired. It's not like He was in a hammock with a Gatorade. Whoo, that was hard work. fanning Himself. No, God rested from what He was doing so that He could have fellowship with Adam. Do you understand that? God wasn't tired. He was showing us that, listen, fellowship is sweet. It's good. Listen, give you an example. Here you go. I have kids. You know why I had kids? I didn't have kids so they could worship me, although they should. I had kids for the fellowship, for the relationship, for the love. Here you go, guys. Listen, you get married. You don't get a wife so that she can serve you and worship you, although she should. No. Ooh. Wow, I heard someone go, whoa. Chill, it's a joke. No, listen. You get married for the love, for the fellowship. It's about resting in each other's arms and encouraging each other. You see, that's why God made Adam. And He rested so that they could have fellowship. You see, God is concerned more with the relationship than the religiosity and then the hoops. He just wants us to love Him back because He already loves us. Man, is that awesome? The Sabbath is set apart for what? For God, for us, for each other. To love, to forgive, to embrace, to pray for. And in that, we draw closer to our Father in heaven. Not, tossing things or not tossing things or stilts or letting someone lay there with a broken leg. In fact, we're going to get to chapter 3 and Jesus is going to heal someone on the Sabbath. And the religious leaders are going to get so angry, they're going to want to kill Jesus. So basically what they're saying is it's wrong to heal on the Sabbath, but it's okay to kill on the Sabbath. You see, that's what legalism does. See, God loves legalism kills. It kills our joy, our peace, our happiness, our freedom in Christ. Remember we sing Amazing Grace? You know what's amazing about it? We don't deserve it. Because we can't be righteous, but we can be holy. We can be set apart. So, God... Oh, by the way, it says that the Sabbath was created for man. Man wasn't created for the Sabbath. And you go, okay, that's a cool phrase, but what does it mean? Give you an example. Chickens were made for man. Man wasn't made for chicken. Okay, here's what I mean. God didn't go, okay, I made chickens. I guess I better make a man to eat them. Who's going to eat them? No. It was the other way around. God said, look at Adam, I made chicken. I can't wait for you to have the Colonel's original recipe. It's going to be awesome. Chicken was made for man. The Sabbath. God didn't create a Sabbath. You'll be okay. We'll wait. Listen, but it's to make a point. I'm sorry. It's to make a point. Listen, here's the point. What is the point? Oh, the point is this. God didn't create the Sabbath and say, okay, I need men in order to fulfill this Sabbath. No. He made man and then He said, I'm going to give you something good. I'm going to give you a Sabbath so you can rest. Let your animals rest. Let the land rest. And in that time, you and I, we can spend time together. You see, Sabbath is a beautiful thing when it's laced in God's love. It's not a thing that should be weighing down. Oh, I've got to go to church. Oh, it's Sunday. Got to go to church. Oh, boy. I could be watching the football game. I could be watching my rocks grow in my front yard. No. We should be going, oh, it's Sunday. We get to go worship together. It's a little taste of heaven. We get to read God's word together corporately. And by the way, we can stop and pray with our brothers and sisters. It was so cool. I was walking through here checking the AC, and Christian stops and goes, Pastor, let me pray for you. I was like, yeah, that's what I want. Pray for me, brother. That's beautiful. That's Sabbath. And he gave me rest. I needed prayer. It was like, yeah. I was like, man, you read my mind. I was like, I need to pray a little more. And he prayed and I got rest. It was refreshing. Do you come to church to get refreshed? You know what blows my mind? Here, this is. And Pastor, sorry I wasn't there Sunday, but man, I was just so tired. Okay. I mean, when you come to church, it's not like we make you do jumping jacks and sit-ups. You sit. You come to church and sit. Well, I was just too tired, Pastor. What are you? I don't get it. Unless you're working out outside. Besides that, listen, when I come to church, I can be tired. I'm very tired. But as soon as I start having fellowship, as soon as I get into that worship, man, I don't know about you, I get revitalized. Because God, Jesus, is my Sabbath. And the closer I get to Him, it doesn't matter how tired I am, He's refreshing. He is. Now, you might be saying, okay, Pastor, I got it. The Sabbath is to be a... be a set apart age. The Sabbath is a... There you go. Between God and the... So that they will be set... Okay. That was... you go. Oh, he's asking us to do that again. Fig, a fig, not heavier than a fig. Is that the answer? It's a sign that God loves us. So the question that you should be asking is, okay, well, why do we meet on Sunday? You just said at the beginning that the Sabbath was from Friday at 6 to Saturday at 6. Then why, p.m., Friday 6 p.m. to Saturday 6 p.m., then why do we meet on Sunday? You ever ask that question? Okay, well, you should try. Because I'm going to give you the answer. Well, first know this. The reason why we meet on Sunday is because most of you have Sundays off. That's a good answer, but no, there's more. How about this? John chapter 20. Write these down because I'm going to give you three real quick. John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. Okay, if the Sabbath is Saturday and it's the seventh day, then what's the first day of the week? Sunday. Okay, so it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, this isn't the Sabbath. What are you guys doing all together? No, he didn't say that. He said, peace be unto you. So Jesus was saying, I approve of this. This is awesome. Great. You guys are all together. And then to verify that, Acts chapter 20, verse 7, jot it down because I'm going to bounce right off of this to another one. By the time you get there, I'll be gone. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, what's the first day of the week? Sunday, when the disciples came together to break bread, and we do that when we have fellowship, also when we have communion, we're breaking bread. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart in the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. So we are going to have the longest church session today until midnight, because we're going to fulfill Scripture. You're like, Lord, I don't like the Sabbath at HBC. No, but they met on the first day of the week. And what did Paul do? He preached on the first day of the week. And they broke bread. When was they did it on Sunday. How about this? 1 Corinthians 16:2. What does it say? Upon the first day of the week. What day is that? Awesome. Let every one of you lay by him in the store as God hath prospered him, that there may be no gathering when I come. So he says this, on the first day of the week, bring your offerings to God, which you are going to bring to the Lord's house. What do we do on Sunday? We give our offerings to God. We come together. So listen, when did the first century church after Christ was raised from the dead, when he became the Lord of our Sabbath, when did they like to meet? On Sunday. Why? They all had the day off. No. Actually, they called it the Lord's Day because it was the day he raised from the dead. And Paul tells us, listen, if Christ isn't raised from the dead, then we are most pitiable. But we're not pitiable because he did raise from the dead. So we come together because we love the Lord and we love what he did. We come together on Sunday. So if someone comes to you and says, hey, the Sabbath is on Saturday, say, bro, you don't understand the love of the Sabbath. It was all about love. And now Jesus is the Sabbath. And the Sabbath wasn't made for man. Oh, excuse me. The man wasn't made for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you have the Lord Jesus in your life? Two of you. Awesome. Okay. Now, okay. So you have the Lord Jesus in your life. And here in our scripture, it says he's the Lord of the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is a sign, and the Sabbath is rest, and the Sabbath is about relationship and fellowship, right? So if you have Jesus, do you have him only on Sunday? No. Do you have him only on Saturday from 6 till Friday, from Friday at 6 till Saturday at 6? You only have him then? No. When do you have him? All the time. So when, here you go, I love this part. So when can we have Sabbath? All the time, every day, every minute, every second, every moment. We can have rest. We can have fellowship with God. You know what I love? God promises to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or think. In the Old Testament, they could have Sabbath one day a week. From Friday at 6 till Saturday at 6. But God says, I'll do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ask or think. I wouldn't even have thought to ask for a Sabbath, let alone to ask for a Sabbath every day. We just got the BVD, the bigger, better deal. How cool is that? God actually did exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or think by giving us Jesus all the time, anytime. The question is, do we take advantage of the fact that we can have that rest at any time? I hope you do. Because what a glorious thing to know that God has provided exceedingly abundantly, that Jesus is our Sabbath. How about this? I'm going to close with this. Don't shut your Bibles. Don't shut down. Listen to this. This is a verse that you're going to want to hang on your heart today for the Sabbath. That's in your heart. Every day is a Sabbath. Matthew 11:28-30. This is Jesus speaking. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here's the thing Jesus is telling you today. Are you weary? You feel heavy laden? Does this world just got you down, bogged down? I know for my heart, I get bogged down. It's hard for me to go from Sunday to Wednesday, let alone from Sunday to Sunday without being refreshed in the Lord. So we can go every day. But some of you, maybe there's a few here who don't have that rest in Christ. For you, it's been a Mishnah experience. You come to church because you have to. It's your checklist. You read your Bible once a day to check it off. I did my Christian thing. I pray for my meal, and I pray before I go to bed. Lord, I lay me down to sleep. But you don't have an intimacy where you can say, God, I can't handle the cares of this world. They're too much, so I'm giving them to you, Jesus. Because you know what Jesus is saying? He says, I'll take them because I love you. And I love you more than your sin. And I nailed your sin to the cross. He nailed the handwriting of requirement to the cross and said, tetelestai, paid in full. You can't be righteous, but I can impute my righteousness to you. Now let me ask you, do you have a religion or do you have a relationship? Does it give you rest, or is coming to church a burden? Because if it's a burden, don't come. Go home and find God. Seek God. Read your word. Pray and say, God, come, give me a reason. Give me a fire and excitement about going to have fellowship. Give me a fire and excitement about reading your word at home. That it's not just a task. That it's reading love letters. That it's, I get to find out how much you love me. Even in the law. The law was about loving you and loving me. He even gave them, hey, you're walking down, pull some grain, eat it. And I don't want you to be hungry. I want you to be full. Do you understand? God loves us so much. He made a Sabbath so He could spend time with us. We could spend time with Him. Is that what today is about? Is that what every day is about? You wake up and you get, you don't have to, you get to spend time with the Lord and Savior, the creator of all the universe, the lover of your soul, your father, your Abba, your daddy. He didn't adopt you as a son so that you'd worship Him and serve Him. He adopted you as a son or a daughter so that you can love Him and He loves you back. It's a reciprocating love. We love Him because He first loved us. And He wants to give us rest. Let's pray. Ah, God. Whew. There's none like You, Father. You truly are holy. God, only You would be so concerned about our every waking moment that you sent Your Son so that we can constantly come to You. We don't have to wait. There's no waiting. Father, we can pray. We can cry out. We can toss all of our cares upon You. And You take them, Lord. You bear them. You cleanse us of all our sins, all our unrighteousness, Lord, so that we can have that intimacy, not just with You, but even with each other. There's a unity, there's a bond, Lord, when we seek Your face and not Your hand. God, we don't seek You for what You can do. You've already done it all. We just want to look into Your holiness, Lord. God, we don't deserve it, but we love it. Thank You, God. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Holy Spirit. You know, words sometimes don't feel like they do justice. So, Father, may we take our lives and lay them out because the words don't do it. But maybe, Lord, we can live and show our thankfulness, our gratitude by the way we live. And God, when we fail You, Lord, we are so grateful that we can be cleansed by that blood. Lord, we just have to confess and come humbly before You. And Lord, I don't know about who's here today. I don't know. But I know this, a group this size, there's bound to be those who have never accepted You as Lord and Savior. And God, I'd be remiss if I didn't offer an opportunity. Are you heavy laden? Do you feel the weight of the world just pressing down upon you? I have Christ, and there are days that I feel that. I can't imagine not having Christ in my life. If you have your sins, why don't we give them to Jesus? He takes it on the cross. You cannot get to the Father. There's no way to heaven. Being here today will not get you to heaven. Coming to HBC, carrying a Bible under your arm will not get you to heaven. Only surrendering your sin to Christ, giving it to Him and receiving His righteousness, only trusting in His finished work, realizing and believing that He raised from the dead, and one day you and I will be also. Is there anyone here that you're just tired of doing it your way, trying to reach God, trying to earn righteousness? If that's you, would you raise your hand and say, I need Jesus this morning? God bless you. Awesome. God bless you back there. Praise the Lord. God won't force you to love Him. He offers His love freely. He's a gentleman. But He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. He will give you rest. Aren't you weary? Why don't you come home? Anyone else need to accept Christ this morning? God bless you back there. Awesome. Awesome. Anyone else? Feel it. You feel Him calling you. Don't fight it. Why would anyone fight love? Surrender to His love. Anyone else? It's a beautiful thing, Lord, when three people ask for You to take their burdens, for You to take their sins and wash them white as snow. But Father, I also know that there are some of us who are believers. And Lord, we've been going through the motions. And Lord, we haven't been intimate with You, Lord. We need to recommit, renew our vows before You. Is there anyone here who needs to accept Christ again? Not accept Christ, but renew your vows. Awesome. Wow. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Give Him your weight. Give Him your concerns. Father, I thank You for those three who raised their hand, who asked You into their lives. I thank You for the dozen or half dozen that raised their hand to recommit their lives. And Lord, for the rest of us, I pray that we would search our hearts and see if we're carrying a burden. Father, we love You. We don't deserve Your love, but we are grateful for it. And Father, go before us and strengthen us, Lord. Those who ask Jesus into their lives this morning, may they make a real commitment, not an emotional one. And if you made that commitment today, make sure you come and talk to me or Gilbert or Alan, one of the ushers. They'll get a new believer's pack into your hand that will help you in your walk. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for Your word. We thank You that You are the Lord of the Sabbath. And Father, most of all, we thank You that we have an intimate relationship with an awesome God. Set us apart, make us holy. In Jesus' name, amen.